Next, we'll hear from internal chairs of PCLC, Policy Coordination and Liaison Committee, Vice Chair Judge Jim Turner.
Thank you, Chief. I'm Justice Baxter asked me to deliver his report today. He was unable to be here, but I think he is on the phone and listening in. The Policy Committee met three times since the last council meeting, taking positions on behalf of the Judicial Council on 17 separate pieces of legislation. And I'll highlight only those bills that were on the discussion agenda. Other committee action can be found in the minutes posted with the Judicial Council meeting agenda. On May 2nd, the PCLC acted to oppose AB 765 relating to sentencing and supported SB 794 dealing with peremptory challenges. PCLC also took a support if amended position on AB 1296 dealing with firearms and voted to take a no position on AB 1313 regarding judgeships. On May 16, the committee took an opposed unless amended support if amended position on AB 560 concerning sentencing. PCLC also took a support if amended position on AB 805 regarding bail. On June 13, minutes of that meeting will be approved the next time the PCLC meets, and the committee considered AB 655 relating to court reporter's salary fund, which the committee previously acted on in its April 18, 2013 meeting and took an opposed position. PCLC also took an opposed position on SB 260 dealing with sentencing. At the same meeting, the committee took a support if funded position on SB 513 relating to diversion programs and voted to support SB 717 relating to search warrants. Our Judicial Council sponsored proposals continue to move through the legislative process, and Justice Baxter will keep you informed of their progress and other bills of interest to the judicial branch. The Senate is scheduled for summer recess beginning July 12th, with recess scheduled to reconvene August 12th. The Assembly, on the other hand, is scheduled for summer recess beginning July 3rd and reconvening August 5th for the final push before the session concludes on September 13th. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Judge Herman. We'll next hear from E&P Executive and Planning Committee, Justice Doug Miller.
Thank you, Chief. The Executive and Planning Committee, as usual, has been very busy since our last meeting. Our primary role is to set the agenda for each of our meetings, as well as to oversee certain tasks delegated to us by the rest of the Judicial Council. I want to thank the members of the Executive and Planning Committee, and again, I want to take some time to do that, for being, it seems, always available on such short notice, usually over their lunch hour or late into the afternoon, in helping us to set that agenda and to review the volumes of draft reports which are prepared by our very able and hardworking staff. So I did want to take a minute to personally thank and acknowledge each of those members, and again personally tell you how much I appreciate your hard work and your dedication. That would be the Vice Chair, Judge So, as well as our members, Judge Baker, Judge Jackson, Judge Kaufman, Judge McCabe, Judge Moss, Judge Rosenberg, Attorney Member Edith Mathai, and Santa Clara Court Executive Officer David Yamasaki. Again, thanks for all that you do in helping with the council agenda setting. Our committee has continued our oversight of the Judicial Council directives based on the recommendations of the Strategic Evaluation Committee. We've relied on valuable input from the three Strategic Evaluation Committee members that the Chief Justice appointed to the Judicial Council, Judge Walkup, Judge Ellsworth, Judge McCabe, and again, on behalf of the council and on behalf on E&P, I want to thank each of you personally and really tell you how invaluable your assistance and service and comments have been as we've continued that important responsibility of overseeing that the Judicial Council directives based on your report are implemented. Thank you. Thank you. E&P met at least four times since our last meeting on April 25th, and I wanted to highlight just a few of those items that we had discussed. I also want to make sure that staff will post my written report online after this meeting. First, language access is vitally important to the people of California and to the Judicial Council. In that light, our committee approved a short-term task force to recommend to the Council options for using all or a portion of Program 45 $1.45 funds for interpreting services. We're also asking the task force for recommendations as how we can coordinate efforts to expand court interpreter services in the state. Cost reduction in our court facilities program continues to be a priority. For this reason, our committee was pleased to approve a proposal from the Courthouse Cost Reduction Subcommittee of the Court Facilities Advisory Committee, I think the longest committee name of all, to establish working groups to analyze and examine more ways to cut costs or become more efficient in how we build and operate our courthouses. Justice Jeff Johnson chairs that subcommittee, and Justice Brad Hill chairs the advisory committee. And again, thank you to both of you and to your committees for your ongoing work on behalf of the branch and the people of California. One update from our committees involves reports owed to us by the administrative director regarding the resources needed to follow through on the work of the trial court funding work group report and the new funding allocation methodology adopted by the council at our last meeting. That report should be ready by August. As Judge Jarr has indicated in his report today, he and his executive team are in the process of reviewing essential services of the AOC, which will be very beneficial to us in that regard. And we look forward as ENP members and as council members to hear those recommendations in our August reports. I'd like to close with an acknowledgement of the Chief Justice and others for their effective advocacy they've accomplished on behalf of the branch during the recent state budget cycle. Again, thank you for those efforts, and they are sincerely appreciated by the branch. The Chief Justice spoke moments ago about our commitment to transparency and the work that has to be done in this regard. For the last 6 months, the chairs of our internal committees of the Judicial Council and I have been discussing procedures to increase our transparency while remaining cost-effective and protecting privileged conversations such as litigation issues, security issues, real estate negotiations, and the deliberative process necessary for the creation of court rules and the other aspects of the important works of our committees. I was on a media call about the branch budget yesterday, and the Chief Justice and I gave a commitment to work as fast as we could in this regard and to provide that information back to the council and to the branch. And this is a commitment that we both made and that we and ENP will follow through on. And thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Justice Miller. Next, we'll hear from Rules and Project Committee, Justice Judith Ashman Gerst, Vice Chair.
Thank you very much, Chief. Rules and Projects Committee has met by phone twice and communicated by email about rules and forms proposals five times since the April 26 Judicial Council meeting. RUPO considered and recommends approval of items A1 through A8 on the consent agenda and item C on the discussion agenda, which you'll be hearing about a little bit later. I'd like to briefly discuss item A7, which is responsive to Judicial Council Directive number 79. That directive was referred to RUPRO, and I quote, evaluate relaxation of mandatory education requirements to allow the administrative director of the courts and the court executive officers greater discretion and flexibility in utilizing their workforces during times of budget constraints. So item A7 proposes an amendment to Rule 10.491, and it would give the ADOC authority to grant a one-year extension of time for AOC staff to complete their education requirements. And if an extension is granted, then the discretion to extend the compliance period. In addition, the proposed amendment would delete the requirement that AOC employees must complete at least half of their continuing education hours through live face-to-face education, and instead gives the administrative director discretion to determine the number of required hours of live face-to-face meetings. RUPRO decided it was important to propose an amendment directed at AO staff immediately because the compliance period for AOC employees ends in 6 months on December 31st of this year. RUPRO will consider amendments to the rules related to trial court employees later this year because the compliance period for trial court education doesn't end until December of 2014. To assist RUPRO in considering amendments to the rules related to trial court employee education, Justice Hull asked the trial court presiding judges and the court executive officers to give him their views on relaxing the mandatory education requirements for trial court staff to allow greater discretion and flexibility in the use of employees. And obviously, this all relates to time off for away from the court during these very tight budget times. I understand that Justice Hall has heard from several courts already, and in August, he, along with Justice Robert Dundaro, who chairs the CJR Governing Committee, will attend the Trial Court Presiding Judges Advisory Committee and the Court Execs Advisory Committee to hear more and to discuss this further with the court leadership. The administrative presiding justices were also consulted, and they indicated that they did not need any type of a rule change at this time. Item F, which is a little bit later on in the calendar, also deals with a somewhat similar study that deals with new judge education requirements. So thank you, Chief. That's our report.
Thank you, Justice Ashman Gerst. Next, we'll hear from Technology Committee Chair, Judge Jim Herman.
Thank you, Chief. Since the last Judicial Council meeting, the JCTC has held two telephonic meetings on May 20th and on June 10th. And along with Justice Miller's comments, I do want to thank our Technology Committee members, Justice Ashman Gerst, Judge Kaufman, Judge Moss, Judge Jackson, Mr. Carlson, and Edith Mathai for all of their good work. At the June 10th meeting, JCTC approved a recommendation to RUPRO and the Council Rules of Court and Judicial Council Forms to implement Assembly Bill 2013. The rules and forms authorized the courts to enact a local rule mandating electronic filing for represented parties in civil cases. The rules and forms were developed by the AB 2073 working group appointed by the Chief Justice and reporting jointly to JCTC and the Court Technology Advisory Committee. Both CTAC and Small Claims Advisory Committees support adopting the rules and forms, and this is a discussion and action item on this afternoon's Council agenda. On May 10th, discussion items included an update on the Court Technology Advisory Committee's inventory and progress in relationship to their annual plan, and also an update on the inclusion of additional courts in the California Court Protective Order Registry, and Judge Jarre reported on that extensively, so I'm not going to report further on that. I also wanted to bring the Council up to date on the Technology Planning Task Force appointed by the Chief Justice to develop a technology plan, a technology governance structure, and a technology funding strategy. JCTC members, the vice chair of this committee, Justice Ashman Gerst, Judges Kaufman, Moss, and I participate on the task force. All three tracks have met regularly since the last council meeting. Last week, the governance track and the full task force met in person for project update and project assessment. The task force, I'm pleased to report, is on track to meet the January 2014 timeline for completion of work set by the council. And we also have checked in regularly with the California Technology Agency, soon to be the California Technology Department, the executive branch's recognition of the importance of technology to government. And we keep CTA abreast of projects. And that's the conclusion of my report, Chief. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Herman.